For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right, here we are with another very special, before the regular season, our guest spots end. So this is why we had to come all the way out to Las Vegas to interview the man here, Derek Stevens, Mr. Circa. But more importantly, you're basically the face of sports gambling now. I mean,
oh gosh.
Well, look.
I don't know about all that, but well, I appreciate that.
Well, look, I'm in San Diego. I see a lot of you and I see a lot of Circa. So thank you for taking the time. And we've actually found a quiet spot here a little bit, a little sportsbook action here. So first question is, how do you go from auto parts manufacturer to the face of sports gambling? How does that work? I'm very curious.
Well, I mean, the reality is you know, my brother and I, we wanted to diversify a little bit. So back in early 2000s, we were looking for different locations, and we really like Las Vegas for a couple of reasons. Wanted to go to a state with no income tax. So we kind of looked at Texas, Florida, Nevada.
Not California.
No, it's kind of like the opposite. Yeah. Obviously, just because we were focusing on tax. I was moving to the West before Boyle, but of course, I love California. I just don't like the taxes.
Yeah.
You know, Florida was probably a little bit too humid. Texas, I thought, was a location where I didn't have any roots in there. Plus, I don't know a damn thing about oil or gas. And I'd been coming out to Vegas for both business and pleasure for quite a while. I love math. And I thought, okay, this is where we're going to move our investment portfolio. That lasted for about 2 weeks. And then I thought, you know, that's not really it's just not really me not being an operator. I'm an operator. I like being around people. I like growing businesses. I like developing teams, and that's how we got into the casino business. We bought the Golden Gate right next door.
Well, I could say that whenever I've been in Circa, like 50% of the time, I see you here and saying hello to people and operating. So you're a man of your word there, and meeting through other friends. Like through all of Vegas, it's probably half a degree of separation for Derek Stevens, right? So have you always been a gambler, or well, sports and other things? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved sports. Like I said, if you love sports, you love math, and you love competition, the probability of you making a wager on the game is pretty high, right? And you know, I started coming out here early. I don't have to say this appropriately, so nobody gets in trouble, including myself. I started coming out here in the 1980s.
Okay,
and started hanging out at some places like the old Little Caesars and then Riviera Stardust, and kind of chased those little 10-cent lines all over the place. And yeah, I mean, I've always loved making a wager on sports. But then I went to school, and then I started working in an auto parts manufacturing company, and started making some money. And after about a decade and a half of doing that, I wanted to diversify a little bit. So that's how we decided to make an investment out in Las Vegas.
Well, you know, first of all, I'm in California, so I follow the rules. I don't bet on sports at all. But parlays, I'm doing some now because my son, who's 10, always wants to watch the Padres. It's just so much more fun when you have a little bit to have interest in the game. And so for gambling, though, this whole thing you could say you're ultimately your biggest gamble perhaps wasn't on any sports, whatever, was just this whole concept, like $1 billion of financing and all that stuff, yeah. Right? I mean, did you look at that as not a gamble at all?
I've always thought that sports was an underserved market nationally and as well as really in Las Vegas. And I felt that Las Vegas as a community could handle the Major League professional sports team for a long time. I mean, I had 6 years where I got to own the AAA team, you know, not a big league team, but the minor league team. And I mean, I was very convinced from 2007 onward that Vegas was ready. One of the reasons I thought was because so many people love to watch, you know, their team on the road, and they're all going to come to Vegas versus, you know, a lot of other minor league towns. And so I thought Vegas could handle a major league team. I also thought that sports was such an incredible form of entertainment where we all are consuming our entertainment differently. You know, think back like 60 years ago, you know, there was no television. You're playing cards at home and things like that. Then time goes by and TV kind of comes into it, but very limited. Didn't really change dynamics that much. And then cable TV got invented, and then it kind of jumped to satellite. Now we've got our smartphones and this unbelievable information age we're in. And I think that the way people now consume their entertainment is different. And this happens simultaneous with the development of on-demand TV for pre-programmed shows. I mean, all movies and television shows, things have changed. I mean, we're going to watch, you know, a show on Netflix, but we're going to watch it on our time.
Yes.
You know, I don't know anybody that ever going to say, I'm going to watch the Super Bowl on Tuesday. You know, yeah. It's not going to happen.
Right. It's right.
You're going to do it right then. I mean, it's the most live watched element. I've always thought that when I was designing Circa, and this goes back to like 2015, why we wanted to get into the sports booking business and things like that. I always thought that live events was really what's going to really kind of take over, you know, with the development of Netflix. It became more stark to me, and I love Netflix, but it became more stark to me that, boy, advertising rates are going to go way up on sporting events, and advertising rates on other are going to go down.
Of course.
And now it seems like, well, of course. I mean, yeah, we have 2020 hindsight, but I mean, at some point, you know, people are scratching their head. I always thought that sports was an element of entertainment that people love to watch together. They love to watch it live. And I thought, you know, back in my day when I first started coming to Las Vegas, back when it was the Las Vegas Hilton and the Caesars Sports were the two big ones, I always thought the element of bringing that back, that sports doesn't just have to be an amenity inside of a big hotel resort. It could be a focal point, because I think there's enough people that really enjoyed it. And, you know, I didn't use a lot of groups to kind of test it. I kind of just developed something like, I know myself and my buddies, we would stay here. That's kind of how we developed something.
That's perfect. Well, you make a great point, because no one watches, the only live TV people watch nowadays is reality TV, which is like, whether, like my friend started the Bachelor franchise. The Bachelor, that's reality TV. News, local news, that's reality TV. Sports is reality TV. Mm-hmm. Whether you get a rose or a 300-pound guy moving a funny-shaped leather object across the white line, it's reality TV. And the other part of it, I think, with the gaming part is it's personalization. Mm-hmm. So as a former San Diego Chargers team position, when I started with them as a head team position, the NFL was the biggest sport. But the time I finished, I think it was bigger than all the sports combined. And here's what I say it was. Early on, everyone would ask me, how's LT? We have to beat the Raiders. Okay, because the Chargers, Raiders. Mm-hmm. And it morphed by the time I was finishing to, how's Gates' toe? He's on my fantasy team. Right. And nowadays, whether it's Thursday night football, Monday night football, no one pays attention. People used to ask me, what time do the Chargers play this week? Are they on the road and it's a 10 a.m. game local time, or is it 1? Now you just turn on the TV in San Diego at 10 a.m. Now you just watch Sunday Night Football because there's a fantasy guy that's on your team or against you, or you have a wager or a parlay on it. And it's the personalization that makes sports so so good, I think, and you were ahead of your time on all of that.
Well, I think you know, when someone puts a wager in a game, it gives them a little bit more interest. It's a little extra juice of the game. If someone has, although this is not considered gambling, if someone has the running back on a specific team or they're in a fantasy league, they have a little more interest in the game.
Sure, it's personalization.
And that's skin of the game. Exactly. You got the skin of the game. And I think they blend of gambling. And then also the how fantasy football has just exploded over the last 20 years has really made NFL really just the perfect sport, the perfect league.
And to males and females even at bars, and everyone does it. Yeah. But the other thing that I would say is, personally, look, golfing. That 3-foot putt looks a lot longer if you have $5 on it, right? It's for pride or whatever. It becomes, and so that adds to the personalization and excitement of it for sure. So I love your sports book.
Appreciate that.
Jeff Benson's been great. We've had him on the podcast before. He's like helped out and whatever. And I love Stadium Swim. Both great. What's your favorite?
Oh, you can't ask that.
It's to your kids.
Yeah, to your kids. Yeah. I would tell you. I got Bar Canada over at the D. Sure. We got a lot of options. So I would tell you, it depends upon the situation. If I've got a large group and the weather is great, and there might be about 10 football games I want to watch, and we want to get after it starting early at about 9 a.m. Well, I might prefer Stadium Swim. If there's an element of a certain intensity coming up where I want to do maybe a doubleheader at night inside the sports book where it's always 72 degrees and all that, might be over there. So it kind of depends. I mean, I love Bar Canada over at the D. So I mean, the answer is I can't answer because I like them all.
Well, look, I haven't been over to Bar Canada, but the sports book here is great. Obviously, the first class, but Stadium Swim is a brilliant concept. Like, first time I was like, oh my gosh, this is like everything you would want in Vegas.
We put a 143-foot screen out there. We jointly designed that with Daktronics. Daktronics is the company that does a lot of the big screens in arenas and football stadiums around the country. And we designed it specifically for Stadium Swim. With the sunlight coming up in the east, how it curves around. We designed it with each one of the pixels with a little eyebrow all over it. So it was a pretty, pretty innovative design. And it has to work with both direct sunlight and 120 degree ambient temperature.
Exactly.
And stay that bright.
Everyone's had a TV in their backyard or a projection. It doesn't work.
No glare.
It works. That really works. That really works very well. So in a very short period of time, I mean, it wasn't that long ago, you could argue before Circa that Westgate had the, you know, it was the Westgate contest, but now it's the Circa contest. How did you like so quickly able to make it that? I mean, just innovation, I guess. You have so many different contests and giveaways and promotions.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I played football contests for a long, long time, for my gosh, probably 15 or 18 years or so. And, you know, I think the Westgate contest was great. I played in contests at Caesars, I played in contests at Stations. And William Hill, you know, when we started up Circus Sports in 2018, I always wanted to get in the football contest. Because listen, I think one thing that we did that hadn't been done before was we decided to start a contest and we put a guarantee of $1 million. Now, the reason we did that was because I viewed our company as a new company. You know, kind of an upstart company. Who the hell would know what Circus Sports is? How do you have any credibility? So we thought, okay, we'll guarantee $1 million, and I hope we get $500,000 worth of signups. You know, and if we sure. blow $500,000, you know, then we mark it up as some marketing expense. But then what happened was we filled that first year, and then we bumped it to like $1.5 million. Then it was $3 million. We just kept filling, so we just kept pushing it. So I think what happened was, in retrospect, and now I'm starting to finally even comprehend this a little bit better, by putting the guarantee out, it attracted enough people that understood the positive EV that was out there, that it kind of forced it to the number. So we haven't hit it every year. Sometimes I've gotten a little overzealous, but that's kind of what happened. It was just simply the fact that we felt that we were the new upstart company and we had to.
What do you have it at this year? What's your
Well, now we're 14 million this
that's
year.
That's what I thought. There was an extra zero there now.
Yeah.
That is pretty cool. Are you partial to football, baseball, basketball, any sports, or you're just?
My favorite sport as a fan, as you know, a parent, all that stuff is definitely baseball. I grew up in a baseball kind of household, so I love baseball. So I'll always have that probably as my number one. But boy, do I love football. I think football is so spectacular from a television perspective. It's spectacular from a betting perspective. I did grow up in Detroit. So Detroit is known as Hockey Town. So yeah. I got to grow up with a whole lot of Stanley Cups there. Then I didn't see hockey for about 10 years, and then all of a sudden the Golden Knights come in.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now we've got a pretty good relationship with the Golden Knights, and that's kind of
I brought my son the first year, and then you guys were in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I brought him to a game and the whole deal. So one of the big things that we do is we're the only ones that do injury analysis as opposed to injury reporting. So a coach may say this, but we say, no, the video this. But our biggest power is in-game when there's nothing to be said.
Right.
So in-game wagering and so forth. How big is Circa into in-game stuff? Because we look at it as injuries in-game. If you know if Patrick Mahomes is coming back or not, that could be the edge that you need. And in-game is, in Europe, is huge, right? It's bigger than the,
the money huge. In the beginning. American sports are a little bit different than the European sports with more like the continuous clock like you get in soccer. But in-game is huge. I would say in many games, we're going to see more games after the game starts. It might be more wagers after the game starts than before it kicks or tips off. There's no algorithm out there right now that tells you, well, Baker Mayfield, is he hobbling off? Just all he needs is a change of possessions and he'll be fine in 5 minutes or not. Is Patrick Mahomes hobbling off, but he's going to be okay? Is Patrick Mahomes when he goes in the locker room at halftime? What's the assessment at halftime? Is he going to come back and have full mobility or not? Are they going to have to change their game plan? So what you do is awesome. It's the next level. I love it.
Well, I know, having talked to you guys, I know they follow along to figure out and make sure that they're on top of the information that's out there.
But you know, when we're in the risk room and you have an injury like this, often you might have, an issue of a left ankle of a left tackle, obviously a quarterback's ankle or a quarterback's shoulder. There are no algorithms to make an assessment. Okay, that's worth two pennies. That's worth a penny. That's worth. This is where you have the element of science, medicine. You've got math, but then you have to have a little sense of the game to understand. Like, okay, what's the alternative? Okay, if you got a really good running game, you can dominate on the running side. Maybe you can offset a little bit of an injury. It doesn't have that big of an impact. Whereas the same exact injury for somebody else could be devastating to a certain team, depending upon what their game plan is.
So what we do is, with the field views and so forth, is let's say the left tackle's out. You can have the backup. You can put the tight end there. You can put the running back on that side. You can direct the protection that way. But what we then do is, okay, if the right tackle is now out, or the right tackle has to move to left tackle and the right guard moves to right tackle, now 60% of your offensive line has not worked together. Right. So we go a lot by cluster injuries when it talks about linemen or certain position groups. But even in fantasy, instead of deciding between two running backs, look at the health of your offensive line or look at the health of the front seven on the opposing team. And that's kind of what we do to try and give people some fun and an edge. Look, I thank you for taking this time. I could talk a lot longer. I see your assistant going, we got to go. You got lots of other meetings. I really appreciate it. And I wanted to have you on because honestly, what I said is true, that from nowhere, you're like the guy that everybody sees. And I like meeting interesting and talking to interesting people. And you, even though you're not really injury based, what you've done here, it fits with what we do, and want to give you a shout out, a great deal, and check out Stadium Swim. You can't miss it. I'm telling you that the sports book's awesome, but Stadium Swim is very
I appreciate special. So one out of one doctors gives us the approval. I love it.
One out of one former NFL team doctor.
There we go. That's
all right. All right.
Doc, thank you very much.
Appreciate you. All right. We'll be back for the second part. We'll do it from here on the Sports Injury Central Pro Football Doc podcast.
Save big money now on new siding from LP Smart Side at Menards. Update and beautify your home with your choice of 13 timeless colors of pre-finished engineered siding. It's durable and includes a Sherwin-Williams factory finish paint warranty that means no painting for years to come. View our entire selection of siding from LP SmartSide today. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right. Thanks, Derek Stevens. Good host here. And welcome back to part two of the Pro Football Doc Sports Central podcast. I'm behind the counter, Jacob. Do you need any tickets? Can I, you know, not really. Yeah, it's a spare area. It's not in the main sports book. It's upstairs. It's quieter here. But if you want me to place any wagers for you, I'll do it right here.
Yeah, now's the time to get those futures in. But
Taylor. Or those free parlays or whatever.
Taylor bets enough for both of us, maybe even the three of us. So yeah. I'll leave that stuff to him.
When Taylor joins us, we might have to slow clap him, right? Or something.
Yeah.
For being late. All right. Let's roll on with part two as we head into the regular season. That's the next set of games here, all regular season games. I know we got the field views going and we got a lot of fun things going on. I will make one little promo. Derek Stevens is killing us, right? So $1 million guarantee. Well, we have a free contest coming up every week with a guaranteed winner of $1,000, but it's free to enter. So, you know, you can't, I'm sure you'll put out more information about that. A few zeros different than what Derek Stevens has, but free is free. His contest costs money to join.
Well, maybe it goes together because our contest is free. You can win $1,000, then you can use that $1,000 to enter Circa.
There you go. There you go.
Isn't that the entry fee, I think?
It
might have gone up.
I don't know. I have not entered it, although some people have told me you should because I went by the old Westgate contest when I started, and Circa's really come up. But at the five weekly picks was modeled after the original Westgate contest. And I've always done pretty well. I've been in the top 20 going into December. And then December slid a little bit where, you know, we've never, like, I haven't entered that contest, but like paralleling our results with similar lines against the others. We've been in the top 20 a couple years in a row, fallen back a little bit in December. Would have cashed though. And there's Taylor, slow clap.
Here in Vegas, so you had to hop on.
I almost interrupted you too. I looked at the live thing and I was like, oh, I guess I shouldn't talk for a second.
But you missed it. I placed about 7-3 wagers behind the desk here.
No, you didn't. No way.
Yeah, so we're done now. I'm done. Security already came, so I can't do any more.
I sent you a nice email before, so I think I helped a little.
All right. All good.
Taylor's been blowing up our Slack. It's a roster cut day, so a lot of interesting movement around the NFL, PUP list, IR, stuff like that. Where I want to start, though, is Jonathan Taylor. I think he's the talk of fantasy today. Is that ankle real, all that stuff? So let's lay it out for you, Doc. Ankle surgery the offseason, I think they said late January is when it went down. Clean out, debridement of some sort. That's where my medical knowledge ends. But is that ankle really still a big deal?
Look, we do not believe the ankle is a big deal. So why is he going on PUP? First of all, think about this. I actually just had a conversation. I won't name drop. With an agent that I think everyone would know, what's up with that? And he had his own take. Usually, you know, right, there's something behind the scenes. They already knew what's going to happen here. My point is this, and this is what I asked him. How do you trade a player who's injured? You can't. Mm-hmm. Even if you reached agreement on a trade, as soon as he takes a physical, the trade is voided or the compensation changes. I mean, we've seen that in baseball. We've seen that in football. We've seen that in other sports. So I don't understand how Jonathan Taylor could have been on the trading block if he weren't injured. Now, Do I think the Colts are lying? No, I'm not calling out Chris Ballard. I'm not calling out Shane Steichen. Does he have something with his ankle where it's sore, where they're choosing him to put on PUP and it's legal? Yes. But our sixth score on Jonathan Taylor has been high. What's happening, I believe, is it's still a standoff. It's not about the ankle. It's about everything else. He's made it clear he don't want to play. So here's the way to not put him on the 53 and eat up a roster spot.
Right.
Is my guess. Look, if his ankle really hurt where he couldn't play, how are they shopping a trade? It makes no sense. Right. And by timing with the ankle debridement, I think his ankle's okay. So if he is made happy contractually or is traded, I think he'll start off healthy. So I'm not saying the Colts are lying. I'm just saying he's healthy enough, I believe, to play if he was happy with his contractual situation. And since he isn't really wanting to play without the contract, the Colts say, here's the PUP, right? And because if he has a plausible injury, you can't just fine him and say you're not reporting, right? He has a plausible injury, but it's about motivation. I think that's what J.C. Treader was talking about in terms of hold-ins, right, in some ways, shape, or form. But that's my thought. It's not about the ankle. It's about the contract.
Yeah, since I know there's the NFI mystery back injury that was kind of 2 weeks ago in the middle of training camp. That seems to have fizzled out. Now it's all ankle. So maybe that was
– Well, I mean –
I don't, what was that about?
NFI him on ankle. He's – sorry, NFI him on back. They can't NFI football him on ankle.
On ankle because
right.
He
got hurt. My ankle, yeah. Not right. You know, and,
right.
And if it's plausible, you side with the player or patient in terms of medicine, if it's plausible. And it's plausible that it's his ankle. And I don't think he's lying. He could say, look, my ankle's not 100%. But boy, if I had enough zeros in my contract or a guaranteed deal or multi-year deal, I would do X, Y, and Z. Otherwise, I'm not going to risk it. That's the fine line that I think can happen, that is happening here, that J.C. Treader, I think, got a little unfair grief, like you're asking people to fake injuries. No, no, no. He's not saying fake an injury.
Right.
Almost everyone has an injury. Just cite the injury and say, look, I want to, you know, put, you always heard me say 85% is a good day for an NFL player. But 85% might not be a good enough day to play if you don't have your contractual situation the way that you want it, depending on the situation.
Well, we'll get to some other big fantasy names and injuries like Von Miller and stuff, but I kind of want to ask you about a weird one that came up this week. Is Ryan Jensen missed all last season. Remember that training camp injury? We had the distance view from the sideline fan. A lot of stuff happened in between then. We won't go too into the medical, but he said that unflipped on its own. He had a flip meniscus that unflipped on its own without surgery. And then now it's coming out he could have had reconstructive surgery, but he opted for basically stem cell.
Jacob, let me interject that right? For a second. Yeah, let me get it from the Tampa Bay Times. So yeah. He had five doctors that recommended reconstructive surgery, but he went a different route that it went stem cells cultivated from umbilical cords donated from mothers who had cesarean sections. So that we do need to go a little medical for doc with that, I believe.
Well, first of all, okay. What that means is, okay, how should I
say this? I think that's the way, that's what everyone's thinking about it, but you can actually answer this. So.
Yes, yeah, it was interesting to read. I know you can answer.
I actually know the backstory completely.
Right.
From someone who knows the whole story.
The situation, right. Yes, yeah, yeah.
So I have to stay away from what I was told. Because remember, we do injury analysis, not reporting. We're not trying to break news.
We're not trying to break anything on
site sources and this stuff. Yeah. So I will answer the question in this way. I've always said, if something doesn't make sense from the outside, it's because we on the outside don't know the whole story. There's no question what you bring up, Taylor, brings up lots of question marks. Look, we said when it first happened on that distance video, ACL, MCL, think his season is done, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? And now it says ACL, MCL, and PCL, and the flip meniscus. And he didn't have surgery. We said he would need surgery, we thought, from the outside. When he came back and played in the playoffs, we said there's no way he can – we didn't think he'd be able to play, but certainly not effective. Now, to his credit, he played, and he played all 81 snaps for Tom Brady's last game.
Right.
And obviously they have a close relationship. But he didn't play very well. How could he?
Right.
Right? And now you have him talking about all these ligaments and things. In general, first of all, on the stem cells from the cord, blood, umbilical cord from other people, what that means is if he had that, it was either done illegally in the United States or he left the country to get it done.
Okay.
And it's a free country. It's a free world. It's not illegal to leave the country to get it done. But that is not technology that is FDA approved that I, as a practicing U.S. surgeon, can do. Mm-hmm. Does it work? Does it not work? That's a different question. Stem cells are still a little bit cutting edge. Remember Ryan Tannehill and his stem cells?
Yep.
Injections for his ACL? Very soon after he was back, his knee gave out again and needed full reconstructive surgery when he was with the Dolphins. Mm-hmm. As a surgeon, maybe I'm biased. I think there is a role for biology, biologics, PRP, different medications, stem cells. But the only ones that are legal in the U.S. are your own cells being reinjected. The umbilical cord stuff of live cells is not legal in the U.S. So that's clearing up a point. Do I know that it works or doesn't work? From what I've seen, I don't know that I'm telling my patients to go overseas to get it. Mm-hmm. But that's also because as a U.S. physician, I cannot be as knowledgeable firsthand in the usage of something that's not legal in the United States. As far as five surgeons telling you to do it a certain way, and he chose a different way, which is now his words, right? Mm-hmm. If five surgeons are telling one way and one another, there seems to be a consensus. I'm sure there was a good reason for him that he chose the other way. Here's what I always say. When you're the San Francisco, no one makes a dumb decision when they make the decision. Everyone takes all of the facts that they have right there and then. Now, as time goes, does it turn into a dumb decision? We've all been there sometimes.
Right.
But when you're making it, it's very rare that a team or a person says, I know this is dumb, but I'm doing it anyways, right? That can happen. Look, you know, I love John Lynch, not beating up on him or Kyle Shanahan. But there's no way in the world they said, we're trading these three picks, first rounders, and we think it's quite a gamble, and we don't think it's going to work out, but I'm just going to take a shot at Trey Lance. That's not how it went.
Yeah.
Whether they liked Lance more late, whether they were always on Mac Jones, they said, look, we need a quarterback. Let's pay and get a quarterback.
No one saw Brock Purdy popping up as the riding in as the savior. So,
right. But see, here's what I would say. When they made the pick of Trey Lance, they were high-fiving each other.
They thought they made that risky.
They liked it.
That was a big decision. They liked it.
Teams will make a decision. I've been there. Teams will make a decision that makes sense in the moment, and then something happens and it doesn't look so good in the end, right? And maybe that's what happened, Ryan Jensen. I can't say it was a dumb decision when he made it. In the end, of course, revisionist history, you want to look a different direction. And, of course, now you could go back and say, I should have done this. Look, when you go for it on fourth down and you don't get it, everyone says it was a dumb decision, right? If you go for it on fourth down and you get it,
you're genius,
you get called brilliant. But the decision itself isn't before the snap isn't good or bad.
Right.
It's the outcome that made it good or bad, right? And so I'm not ready to jump on Ryan Jensen for a bad decision. You know, kudos. He got a lot of opinions. I'm sure he and his people had a reason to make the other decision. You know, not just like Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch had a reason to select Trey Lance. And to his credit, their credit, they did get Brock Purdy. They drafted him too. It balances it out.
It makes it less, yeah.
Like people thought historically, the people who follow this podcast, that I was hating on the Cowboys and, you know, our guy, Jalen Smith, right, who's now with the Saints. Did he make the club?
I still have to check that. Otherwise. Let me check that for you. Yeah, that's a good question.
My point is that knee injury was nasty at Notre Dame in college.
And he got cut. He got cut, yeah.
Like we said, I don't think he can play special teams. He can't run down full speed and change directions.
Right.
And so he was supposed to be a generational linebacker, and the injury derailed his career. I did not believe that there was any way that he would rank, that he's at best a third day pick or potentially a free agent because of the injury. But the Cowboys picked him at the very top of the second round. Mm-hmm. And they kept doubling down, saying he was going to be okay. He didn't play the first year, played poorly the second year. Third year, he could blitz an A-gap. He did all right, but he couldn't really
get a lot of tackles. He had a lot of tackles that year.
Yeah, but he couldn't really be in coverage. And he got then the fourth year, he got exposed, but he got a big deal. Yep. Good on him. But the Cowboys don't have to defend that. They also drafted Dak Prescott in the fourth round. If you would have told me you drafted Dak Prescott in the second round at the top, and Jalen Smith in the first round, you say that makes sense. It's a pretty good draft. That's just the way it goes. So I'm not hating on anybody. And I am sorry Jalen Smith didn't make the Saints, but it kind of is expected, unfortunately. The injury is what it was. I'm the first one to say without this, he could have really, I think, been special. And I'm surprised that he even played as much as he did in the league, given how bad the injury was. The Cowboys, you think they made the decision saying, we don't think Jalen Smith is going to make it. This is a bad pick. They said, oh, we're optimistic. It's going to heal. We think it's okay. We talked to our team doctors. Doesn't make him a bad doctor. I mean, you know, it's a decision that was made, and, you know, it didn't work out.
Oh, well, let me give you three players.
Put it this way. Do you ever place a bet that you think he's going to lose?
I was going to say, the Vegas analogy is right there. It turns into a bad bet the longer the game goes.
Yeah, a lot of times it's a bad bet, a bad beat, or a horrific bet. You're on the wrong side from the beginning. But when you made it, you had your reasons. You thought it was good.
I've had a couple minutes into a bet where I'm like, shoot, I'm on the wrong side immediately, and you're not coming back. But, yeah, it was good at the time.
And then sometimes it turned into a decent bet at the end.
When you put your money in, it was good at the time.
Oh, it was good. That's why the money's in. Exactly, yeah.
Let me give you three different players, Doc. Wouldn't say any of them are surprises that they landed on PUP. Von Miller, Lael Collins, and Kyler Murray. Which one would you expect to see first this season? Remember, Lael Collins is the multi-ligament. He's the inside leg if he's going to play right tackle. Von Miller, I believe, is the left knee, and then Kyler is the right knee.
I think Kyler's last. I think Lael Collins is first, and Von Miller is in between. Here's why. Lael Collins, I get it, multi-ligament, but his job is to play in essentially a 3 to 5 yard area, right? And he's a big boy and whatever. Von Miller, if he's a split second slow, now we've talked about maybe moving to the other side so it's the healthy outer leg.
Right.
You're not the same. Kyler Murray, I'm not hating on Kyler Murray. If Kyler Murray is a pocket quarterback and can see and play from the pocket, I believe he would play at the start of the season. But if you take away his run ability, his escape ability, his running ability, he's putting himself at risk, but also he's already got the big deal. So why would you put yourself at risk? And at this point, does anyone think the Cardinals are going to go anywhere this year? Right.
I mean, the first two teams have a lot more to play for sure.
Now, the other reason, and I'm not hating on Kyler Murray with that, is if you're the Arizona Cardinals and you look at, you have Kyler Murray, Do you want Kyler Murray out there if he's 85%?
Not
this
season. Do you
want to wait until he's 95% or 100, right? Joe Burrow, you want out there if his running ability is only 85%, because you want him out there for his passing.
Yes, exactly.
And we said from day one, we believe Joe Burrow is going to play week one. Is he not? And is he going to be able to run? Some, but I think he will end up being told and choose not to. Not because he couldn't run on fourth and three when he had to. And maybe in fourth and three he would run, but the more change of direction and explosive he has to be running, the higher chance he has of re-aggravating that calf and suffering a setback. So the team's going to say, come on, Joe, don't do it. Don't do it,
yeah.
Right? And I think he can play well from the pocket. He's a different type of quarterback. Look, once again, not hating on you, but I think it'd be harder for Joe Burrow to play with a high ankle like Patrick Mahomes did in the playoffs. I think it'd be harder for Kyler Murray to do that, just using those examples. But Patrick Mahomes, with his off-axis throws, and we've talked about it, doesn't need to stick that back foot into the ground, so to speak, to get the ball out.
But you can check out Sick Insights on the website. Main article right now is the Fantasy Draft Toolkit. Definitely check it out before all your drafts. We have quarterback scores, wide receiver, running back, tight ends, all that good stuff, along with fantasy articles to help you. I want to finish on one player, Doc. Kind of interesting decision that the Seahawks chose not to put Jaxon Smith-Njigba on IR with his wrist. It seems like a lot of the Twitter crowd is saying, okay, so maybe it is just a 2 to 3 week injury then. Maybe Pollyanna Pete's right. Is it somewhere in the middle?
Well, let me ask this question. Is it official that he's not on IR?
I believe they made the roster cuts. I'm not 100%.
He's made the 53-man roster, but he's not.
Here's what this means. Okay.
Right.
And we'll see how it works out. There was no way that he was going to get put on injured reserve before he made the 53. Why?
Right.
Because that would mean season with no chance to come back. So this is where fans don't have it correct. It is meaningless that he hasn't been placed on IR yet, because nobody, including us, thought this was a season-ending fracture. And that's what IR before making the 53 would mean. Now that he's made the 53, if he goes on IR, now it's the designated to return slot 4 weeks. So it remains to be seen if he will hit IR, but the IR that he will hit will be one where he can come back after four games and the Seahawks have a week 5 bye. So for the he won't hit IR crowd, that hasn't happened yet. He's got to make the 53 first,
right?
And then the IR designation comes and that allows him to come back. So until we get to week 1, and even then, he could get put on later than he'd miss the fifth game of the season, right? But he literally could get put on IR Saturday/Sunday morning before the first game.
Yeah.
And it still would be just four games and come back after the bye.
Right.
So that's probably what they're doing. Let's just carry him on the 53. Let's see how he does. Let's see if he's getting close. If by the end of the first week he's close, look, if he gets lucky, maybe he can play with the brace. I think that's going to be tough. But if he gets close, then maybe they don't put him on IR because they're thinking he's close. But if he's not close, you still can pull that trigger, get the roster spot, et cetera. That's why the tale is still untold on JSN.
Well, even Pollyanna Pete said it's such an elaborate surgery for such a small crack. So that he's not even being completely optimistic with, you know, he's usually, I know you'd love to hear
he's
that.
He's doing it his way, but yeah.
I do not love to hate on Pete Carroll. I'm from Southern California. I like Pete Carroll at USC. I like Pete Carroll. I'm amused by his Pollyanna glass always three quarters full approach. I'm amused by it. It's okay. I mean, would you rather have a coach be that or be lying to the public? I mean, I'm amused by it.
Yeah.
And look, a small crack is like saying slightly broken is like saying slightly pregnant. Okay. I mean, the bottom line is the bone's broken and it needed surgery. And it's the scaphoid bone, which is tough to heal because of blood supply. and the splint that he will need will include the thumb. That makes it very, even if he's not hurting, it makes it hard to catch the ball. Okay, one-handed. Right.
And you're not blocking too, right? You're going to be out there and not block at all?
Well, you know, it depends on how they wrap it. But, yeah, you're right. Blocking's part of the game too, of course, for a wide receiver. So, we'll see. But to say, oh, see, he's going to play, it's not a bad deal because they didn't put on injured reserve. Not accurate. People who say that are not understanding what the NFL system is.
No, it's a key, especially for heading into fantasy drafting him. If you're thinking he's playing week two versus, oh, he might sit till week six. That's a big difference in your fantasy.
Well, we've lowered his number, right? I mean,
yeah,
we're not so sure he's going to be there. Same with Terry McLaurin. Same with a few other people, right? In terms of what's happening. So
bye week is week five as well.
So right. So he'll play the fifth game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think Beast of the Week got to be DeMar Hamlin. I mean, it's great. Kind of even we've kind of moved on from the DeMar Hamlin coverage and making sure every step of the way that he's hitting all the boxes. But just great to see him return to football, and hopefully in a good way, this story will die down, that it's not as incredible that, I mean, it's obviously incredible that he came back and is playing active football and made the 53-man roster, but hopefully, I'm sure he wants to kind of put it behind him too.
I had one agent call me this week, once again, won't say the name, and say, do you have any worry that there's going to be a lot of canceled games? Because he said, DeMar Hamlin, you know, they canceled that game, and now there were a couple of preseason games that were canceled.
Twice.
Something went off on a spine board. And my answer to him was no. The DeMar Hamlin one was so out there. No one has seen someone do CPR on a teammate. Everyone has seen that cervical collar and spine board, and you get the thumbs up before they leave. And then you continue to play. So why in these preseason games were they canceled? Well, maybe because, A, they saw a precedent of it being canceled with DeMar Hamlin. But you got to remember, it was also the preseason. Right? I mean, missed the last 10 minutes of the fourth quarter, cancel again. I do not see players advocating for that come the regular season. I don't see it. I don't see it as a problem. But back to what you say, hopefully – you know, DeMar Hamlin gets back to his starting position. I think he's right now on the depth charts, the backup. But that's probably the last tail end of the story, and good for him. And he's doing all this good heart work as well now. And AEDs, our little league field or pony field has a couple extra AEDs as a result of the awareness of DeMar Hamlin. And remember,
he's a good special team player, too. He's a good special team player. Yeah, so he'll be on the field. Yeah.
And why Little League? Because commotio cordis, you know, the ball or the puck or projectile hitting the chest. Very unlucky circumstance, but boy, it seems like a happy ending. So I agree with you. Beast of the week, beast of the year, whatever, to DeMar Hamlin. And kudos to him and all the good stuff that he's doing. All right, so the regular season flowing here. That was a good guest here, Derek Stevens. And look for a lot of new features at Sports Injury Central. The $3,000 weekly contest, nothing to enter, sick data, field views, sick insights. I'm telling you, you're going to want to bookmark that before you get ready to go. And thanks for watching, and we'll see you soon.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.